Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, the 27th of April, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a special weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon here on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we simulcast the program for all of southeastern Arizona out of our station in Douglas, KAPR, AM 930. And we stream the show live at my website, buckmastershow.com, and at KVOI, the station's website, kvoi.com. And if you miss the program, you can't listen to it live, we have it available for you, usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, again on my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. So we try to make this very easy for you to hear our program. On Friday, it's Friday Focus, and today it is Dwayne Bloomberg, the mayor of the city of Sahorita. Joining me to question Mayor Bloomberg is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Mayor Bloomberg came to Sahorita in 2005. He was elected to the town council there in 2009. His professional career involved academics and economic development. He was selected by the town council to be the mayor on June of 2011. He's a PhD and a mathematician. He spent 35 years at the University of Louisiana, where he was a faculty member, department chair, dean of the College of Sciences, and vice president. And he went on to become the deputy secretary for economic development. Mayor Bloomberg, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be able to tell the story of Sahorita.
And Dan Scheer, it's good to see you. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Mayor, how are you feeling? It was around April 10th or 11th when you had a heart attack and underwent quadruple bypass, taken to University Medical Center and the Arizona Medical Center, where you received very good care. You were telling me before the show started.
Indeed. Thank you. I think it is a wonderful asset to this area to have such a fine research and teaching medical school and hospital and staff. I was treated very well, taken care of, and the prognosis is good. I'm well into recovery, and I
think
in about another couple of weeks, I'll be resuming all activities.
Well, there you go. After open heart surgery, I'm telling you, you're looking good, and you were up and about pretty quickly, and you didn't really have many symptoms.
That's correct. Yeah. I woke up one Sunday morning and went out in the kitchen and had a center chest pain of a type that I hadn't had before, and I sat down. My wife said, "You don't look very good. You look kind of clammy." So uncharacteristically, we decided to call 911 quickly. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the fire district came and the ambulance quickly. And everything worked out as well as could be.
Sahorita is one of five communities that are incorporated in one of the largest geographical counties in the United States. How is Sahorita doing with the explosive growth that has been experienced in your community just south of Tucson? And I know you don't really want to be referred to as a bedroom community. You think you really have to move beyond that, don't you?
Indeed. We're doing very well. For example, in the 2000 census, the population of the town was about 3,000, and now it's about 26,000. And during the early parts of the last decade, the town was growing really at more than 30% per year. So it was very substantial. We're lucky. The state of our town right now is really very good. The growth has, of course, provided citizens' demand for services and the like that we've been able to meet. We have a number of amenities, a good park system and so forth. Business activity is up. We have relatively new public infrastructure. Our roads and public buildings are all pretty new, so things are in good shape right now. And I'm proud to say, because of prudent action on the part of previous councils and some luck, we are in very good fiscal shape. We have actual reserves that exceed a year's income into the general fund.
That's good news in this day and age. Here's Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun.
Mayor Bloomberg, you talk about the story of Saharita, and the last 10 years, of course, has been population growth. And
indeed,
now for a lot of the people who live there, the question is, okay, now how about retail? You know, and I know a lot of communities measure in terms of Home Depots and Walmarts and things like that. We have some of it and not others. What's it going to take to get some of those big businesses down there?
Okay. Here is the situation. The town's economy is unsustainable because it depends on retail sales, retail and service sector, and on construction and construction-related activities. And we see what happens in an economic downturn. And also, this mix of businesses that we have, the economy, doesn't fit well with the experience and the education and so forth of our residents who would like to work there rather than having to leave to go to work. So the big thing we need to do, but this is easy to say and very hard to do, in the long run, we have to diversify the economy by attracting what in economic development language is called a primary business. And a primary business is one that largely sells its goods or ideas or research or whatever it's into outside of the community and hence brings money in. So that's a long-term thing. We're started on that. But we need more retail, both to satisfy the demand of citizens, and we also need to enlarge our trade area so that we bring retail shoppers in, bring money in from outside. And we are growing business-wise. We now have more than 100 businesses physically located within the town, but we do need the Home Depot and some other kinds of things like that to come in. The principal area that will happen in immediately, I do believe, is the Rancho Saharita area, the town center area there at the intersection of I-19 and Saharita Road. And the town council is getting ready, I do believe, and I will not speak for my colleagues because we'll have to decide on this fairly soon, but I believe that the town is going to participate in the development of the public infrastructure that will be necessary to get this going.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, a research park or light industry, drawing those down to Saharita, why would somebody choose Saharita over, say, Oro Valley or Marana or even Tucson?
Well, for example, in the town of Saharita, we do not levy any property taxes. We have no impact development fees, and we don't charge a fee for a business license
either. Really?
We are trying to be as open to businesses as we can. Now, I think that we are in a good position. As you probably know, Trio and Pima County and some other players are starting, it's really well underway, a defense and aerospace initiative. And this is important. Trio estimates that about 20% of the workforce in this area works in this aerospace and defense sector.
It's huge.
And when you couple the private sector with the number of military installations that there are in our area, this is a huge impact. And there's a lot of possibilities here, and I think the town will benefit from this because this is largely going to develop near the airport.
And you're fairly close to Raytheon
and
the airport.
In fact, I think about 700 Raytheon employees live in our town now. And so we have good connections, and I see a lot of things for the future. It will be a good location for a company that wants to be in this business and have access up to the airport and so forth.
Mayor Bloomberg is with us. He is the mayor of the town of Saharita, the fast-growing community of Saharita. Of course, you have the Rosemont Mine would be very close to the proposed Rosemont Mine,
Indeed.
Be close to Saharita. What is your feeling about Rosemont?
Okay. My main concern is the water situation. Right now, the aquifer, of course, that serves Saharita and the whole Green Valley is a huge one that runs well north of that and south of that as well. But if you let me refer to the local aquifer, the part really where we are, there is now an overdraft, that is more water is being pumped out of the aquifer than is being replenished, of about 40,000 acre feet per year, which is a lot of water. And this is, we've done studies, providers and users group has done terrific service by really doing scientific study, and this is going to continue well into the future unless something changes. The mine or any business that would come that is going to use so much water and contribute to that problem, I can't support unless we can find a way to recharge more water locally in a place where geologists tell us that it would do some good. And we're trying to see how that can happen. There are several projects that would bring additional water into the Sahuarita and Green Valley area for recharge. But that's my major concern.
Dan, a quick question before we take the break.
You mentioned Rancho Sahuarita, and they are a big landowner, very influential in Sahuarita. They roughly account for half the population,
that's
only going to grow.
Right.
And there's a lot of construction going on right now up there. It's actually very positive to see. Describe the town's working relationship with them, and just be frank about some of the struggles and some of the successes you've had.
Yes. The town has had, in my judgment, sort of an off-again, on-again relationship with the developer. And it's been hard. Bob Sharp, the developer of Rancho Sahuarita, really took a great risk because nobody thought in the early days that he would be successful in being able to really develop something there yet out in the middle of the desert. He has been very successful with that. And the town has had to grow up. The town probably made some, I won't say bad deals or but deals with the developer that another town may have done differently. But in recent years, I think this relationship has greatly improved. We're trying to work together. I mean, my career in economic development, I believe in partnerships. Now, usually it's called public-private partnerships. I much prefer private-public because I think that the private sector ought to take the lead.
Private sector really should drive it, right?
In the projects. And I like it when the public sector can participate in public infrastructure type projects. And we're working with Mr. Sharp now to do it, but I think the future is good.
When did Mr. Sharp start all of this?
The first actual construction in Rancho was in 2000.
I think it was 2000.
So it's fairly recent.
Three or something.
So it's within 10 years or so.
Yes, okay. That's right.
We just marked a decade basically of their presence, but the houses didn't go in right away.
All right. Mayor Bloomberg is with us from Sahuarita. If you are a resident of that area and you would like to ask the mayor a question, or if you have any comment about the area and area growth, give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We will be back. It is Friday Focus on Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Fransheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:22. It is Friday Focus. We always bring a newsmaker in every Friday, and we have a reporter joining me to question the newsmaker. The newsmaker today is the mayor of the town of Sahuarita, one of 5 incorporated communities in all of Pima County. Dan Scheer is here with me from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. And Mayor, you were saying, did I hear this right? No property tax, no impact fees, and no business license.
Yeah. That's correct.
So you're saying that you're doing everything you can to try to get business down there.
Right. You know, when we think about a municipality or whatever, we often think about the citizens. And of course, the citizens are the most important people there. But also you have your investors. People who don't necessarily live there, though many do, but choose to open businesses or nonprofit or whatever the case may be and invest in the community. And that's just important, period. And so we're trying to be as friendly as possible and make it as easy as possible. In addition to what you just talked about, we have revised our codes relative to business things, and we're trying to make it as easy as possible.
Here's Dan Scheer now from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun.
Mayor, some people think you've been too friendly. There have been some growing pains. Sahuarita Road and I-19, you mentioned that earlier, is a key intersection for retail. Currently, there's a monument sign going up just south of there that will tower, you know, 60, 70 feet.
Right,
And it's about, I don't know, a third built right now. That's in an area that sells itself on scenic views. Why is this necessary?
Well,
and what is the sign again, Dan?
It's a freeway monument sign.
It's not a billboard.
Oh.
It's what's called a monument sign.
Okay.
And so it's architecturally designed from the base up.
But it's huge.
It's about 65 feet tall.
All right, go ahead.
Now, whether or not that qualifies as huge, I guess, is in
somebody.
Okay.
Subjective.
Here's the situation as I see it. When you are talking to a major retailer or about coming into the community, they have a list of things that they're interested in. Usually the first thing on the list has to do with the workforce, whether they can attract appropriate employees and so forth and so on. They're worried, of course, about taxes and regulations and so forth. And as you come down the list, signage, advertisement, visibility issues are always on the list, and you work down blah, blah, blah through this list. Now, almost no community gets checks in every box, depending on the thing. However, the strategy is to get as many checks as you possibly can. And so we weighed this, and we looked at the size of the signs, and we decided to allow for this particular development, which is, you know, thousands of acres, three freeway signs, two on the west of the interstate where the site is really mine tailings and things like that, and one on the east. And can you say, if we put the, you know, people always ask me, if we put this sign up, can you guarantee that X or Y or Z will come? Absolutely not. But it is one more positive for the community and for that location.
But the question is, was it necessary to go 65 feet? Look at Jim Click Ford down there, and they've got a sign that's not more than 20 feet tall, and it's quite effective. Now,
sure, but that sign, look where it is, and look what the area between the freeway and the business is. It's all clear. There's right. no – where – we're talking about where these signs will be, there's intervening trees and stuff that cannot be removed because they're in state washes and right of way and so forth that the Department of Transportation has control over. You need the sign to be high enough to be clearly visible, and you need it for people on freeways. They have to be able to see it far enough in advance so that they can make the turn and right. find the correct exit and so forth and so on.
And I'm not sure I buy all that, but I hear you.
Would 54 feet work, or would 65? Yeah, right. We can argue that.
12:26 on the Buckmaster Show. Okay. It is Friday Focus with Mayor Bloomberg from Sahorita. Want to ask you about a transportation question. Okay. As the mayor of your community, you do sit on the board of the Regional Transportation Authority, which has just celebrated, I believe, its sixth-year anniversary of the RTA since yes. voters approved that. And there's been some move by City Councilman Steve Kasachek here in the city of Tucson to revisit the RTA plan. Do you think that the voters – that the RTA should go ahead with what the voters voted for?
I do indeed. I have all in back in Louisiana, we had some situations where the voters would approve a certain bond issue for a project, and then somehow it would get morphed into something else. And I never liked that. I believe when the voters speak, we ought to listen. So I do believe in going ahead, as RTA has been doing, with the projects. Moreover, RTA and initiatives like this elsewhere were intended to supplement the existing road building and road maintenance funds. It was supposed to enhance this region, not to supplant other funds.
Yeah, I think a lot of this comes out of the need and the cry of the community, not only in the city here, but the county. Yes. We've got to do something about these potholes.
Yes, and I agree that some things need to be done.
How are your roads in your town? Do you have a bunch of potholes,
no.
or should we come down there?
No, we have we have almost all relatively new roads.
Oh.
And oh. For however you want to look at this, we were able to obtain some of the federal stimulus money to resurface some of the roads and streets, so we're in good shape. However, that's a problem down the line, because in 10, 12, 15 years, all of this infrastructure is going to be in some trouble at the same time. So that's one of the challenges.
I've got about 35 seconds. Dan, quick question, kind of yes or no?
How important is the Mexico market to Sahorita?
It's huge. We're working with the chambers, you probably know, to see where we fit in there and how we can capture some of that. But it's increasingly important to all of Southern Arizona. A lot of the connections with this aerospace defense initiative are going to be connections with Mexico.
And you said you have 100 retailers now in the community?
Right. Well, 100 businesses.
100 businesses.
Doing business in the—
What retailer would you really like to see come in there?
The surveys that we've had taken show that the number one need is home improvement and supply. Okay. Let me not name any particular that we have earlier, not name any particular one.
All right, Mayor Bloomberg, thanks a lot for being with us. You look great after your open heart surgery and almost up to full speed. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you both, gentlemen. Thank
All right, you. And Dan will stick around. Jimmy Bogle will join us on the Friday Reporters Roundtable as we continue at the halfway mark of Buckmaster. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama has signed an executive order aimed at protecting military service members from fraudulent pitches from career colleges and technical programs. The House has passed Republican legislation that would keep interest rates on millions of federal student loans from doubling this summer, but it's certain to die in the Democrat-controlled Senate, and the White House has promised a veto. The hunt for Isabel Celis continues around Tucson, Arizona, but it is not turning up anything new. The National Weather Service has sent a team to southeastern Colorado to confirm reports of several rare overnight tornadoes. Stocks holding on to gains as we head into the final half hour of today's trading. Right now, the Dow's up 37 points, the NASDAQ better by 21, the S&P 4 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is 12:34 on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And it is time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, time to feature our local journalists from this community who we love to have come into the Buckmaster Show on Friday, and we talk about the week's top stories, not only here in Southern Arizona, but in Arizona. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Jimmy Bogle. He is the editor of the award-winning Tucson Weekly.
Amen, brother.
You, as far as you're concerned, I can't say that enough, right, Jimmy?
No one can say that enough. I'll take all the kudos we can get.
There you go. Dan Scheer is editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, thank you very much. It was a very informative conversation with the mayor of Saharita. It is a community that here in Tucson with the Tucson media, I don't think Jimmy Bogle gets enough publicity. I learned a lot talking to the mayor. It's the first time he's been on this program.
Yeah.
I didn't know they didn't have any property tax down there.
I didn't know it. I think the biggest surprise was that there's no fee for a business license.
Yeah.
I was listening to it on the way here, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think it's good for Tucsonans to listen to these things and find out what other cities who, in a sense, are competing with Tucson in a lot of ways, are trying to do.
Yeah, and I think the Tucson business license thing, or the business license decision, was fairly recent. But I do thank you, Jimmy, because you guys actually do have a reporter who lives in our a freelance reporter who lives in our community and does get the name into your paper every once in a while.
Well, gosh darn it! All these kudos are making me blush,
guys.
And we want you to join us if there is something that you hear that you would like to comment on. If there is a question, you can always join us. Our Buckmaster Show live line opens up when we open our show, and it closes when we close the show. And the number is 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. This is a beautiful property if you haven't been up there. It's a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more. Got a great website, SplendidoTucson.com. Jimmy Bogle, the top story of the week for many people is the continuing story, the very tragic situation with the disappearance of Isabel Solis here in Tucson. It's become a national story. The feds have gotten involved. There have been some profilers from the FBI here. Unfortunately, these types of stories are far too common in this country.
They indeed are. I mean, they've led to whole shows that have done a lot of good, like America's Most Wanted, you know, which actually started with the host and his son, Adam Walsh, getting abducted a long time ago. And we don't know what happened here. But, you know, when the police announce that they're looking in lakes and washes and stuff like that for evidence and for leads even, that's a bad sign because it means either, A, they have no leads, or B, they have a very bad and unfortunate lead. So, I mean, I think it's good that this is getting the attention it is because maybe someone saw something, maybe someone knows something. You know, I mean, there's been flyers everywhere, and I think it's good that it's getting the attention. And supposedly they're getting in a lot of leads, but at least from what we're hearing on the outside, not a lot of progress.
And Facebook, Dan Scheer, has been really big in this.
Absolutely.
Social media.
Absolutely. And our population in Saharita is right here. They understand it, and there's a lot of fear and anxiety among the parents and definitely the children.
Supreme Court indicating parts of Arizona's immigration law are okay. I'm a little confused about this. They indicate, Jimmy Bogle, that it are okay. I didn't think the Supreme Court really showed their cards till it was all over.
Well, no, and that's exactly it. I mean, the same thing happened a couple weeks ago when there was the discussions of quote-unquote Obamacare and whether or not it was going to be upheld. And people were reading tea leaves and saying, well, based on the questions they asked, based on how they reacted and some of the statements they made, we won't really know until they issue the opinion. You know, I do think that there is some value that can be gained from listening to these very veteran legal reporters – legal reporting is one of the toughest things to do in journalism.
A lot of guessing involved, right? I mean, they're kind of trying to read the way the justices are going.
There's not only a lot of guessing, there's also a lot of expertise. I work with Bob Agelko. I was very fortunate to work with him for a brief amount of time, who was a great – I believe he's still working. I'm not sure – with the Associated Press in San Francisco, and then he moved on, I believe, to the San Francisco Chronicle. And just having someone who is a lawyer as a reporter there is an amazing thing to have. And so there is some – you know, there, I'm not saying that this is just pure speculation, because you can kind of read the tea leaves. But at the end of the day, you're still reading the tea leaves, and we don't know what's going to happen until they issue their findings.
Which I guess will be, Dan, this summer?
That's right, this summer. And I'll tell you, I read an interesting LA Times story yesterday. It says two things. Yes, Arizona's reputation has taken a beating throughout all of this. And yes, a good chunk of the people in this state still support SB 1070.
The legislative map's now official. The feds, Dan Scheer, have signed off on Arizona's new legislative maps. At this point, the challenges, I guess, are pretty much are over.
Right. It's done. And I think the people who were really following this knew that what happened yesterday would come about. I don't think there's too many surprises. You still have a lot of people who say it's a travesty in certain districts, but we're going to live with it. And for me, it's I'm glad we just have some finality as we head into the election season.
Jimmy, the Republicans were outraged over the new congressional district maps. They seem to be less unhappy with the congressional maps. They were outraged over, but they're less unhappy with the legislative maps.
There was a lot of outrage everywhere you went, but I believe the analysis was that 16 of the 30 districts are still considered safe Republican in this, and I believe nine are safe Democrat, and then the other five are toss-ups. So in order for the Democrats to take control of the House or the Senate, something kind of weird would have to happen. And that does happen in politics. We've seen it before, where a Democrat would have to win in a quote-unquote safe Republican district. So there, of course, isn't a lot of outrage there, but there was just a whole bunch of outrage, a lot of it, in my opinion, manufactured over the IRC, because the person that was, you know, the independent quote-unquote did have some Democratic ties, and the Republicans in a way got kind of gamed at their own system. But the maps, according to the Justice Department, they're fair.
Well, we're going to have a lot of changes down in Green Valley and Sahuarita, because right now we have our three members up in the legislature are all Republicans, and that's going to change. It's a very good chance that we're going to end up with all Democrats down there the way things are now. So we're in for some change. It's going to be very interesting.
It's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. We want to welcome another new sponsor to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program is made possible by the financial support of Adobe House Antiques. If you love antiques like I do, you've got to check out this place. They specialize in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, located in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. And I don't know, Jimmy Bogle, if you've been by there on Campbell. It's just north of the Blue Willow. It's a beautiful Jostler-designed home. Stop in there, and I'm urging all of our listeners to do so, because I love antiques.
I will have to do that. Usually when I'm on Campbell, I have to admit I'm looking for either food or drink, not antiques. And when, you know, I love antiques, but not when I'm looking for food or drink. But I'll definitely check that out, Bill.
Okay, what about the Democratic race for the U.S. Senate? New poll showing it's going to be very close. It's going to be very close. It's close right now, but it's very early, Dan Scheer.
It is early. We'll just have to see. I got to tell you, after April 17th, and you know, I know that's the representatives, things have kind of calmed down. Everyone's kind of taken stock in Green Valley and Sahuarita, just kind of the whole political season. I think we're still shocked that we're thrown into the special election early on, and we're still kind of dealing with what that's going to bring. And Jesse Kelly's been down, Ron Barber's been down, and we'll see where that heads.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how engaged are your readers in this special election?
Well, you know, they're very engaged. The voter turnout was good down there. We've got a lot of talk going on. We're at an event today. We're at one yesterday, and this is all the buzz. It's been interesting to see how Ron Barber has distanced himself a little bit from Gabrielle Giffords' stand and on the health care issue. And we knew that was going to happen. He would have to do that. He's going to take some flack. But Ron Barber is his own man. can. And I think that's important. And I don't think that he's really been trying to, as some of the critics have said, ride into office on her coattails. I think he has really tried to distinguish himself. So this is not a surprise. And I'm glad that he has come out with something fairly concrete on this and say, look, this is what I disagree with.
And Jimmy, the Republicans are trying to make a big deal out of this. On our Monday political face-off, Bruce Ash, who is the Republican National Committeeman, we talked about this because Ron Barber made that announcement last Sunday. So on Monday's show, we were talking about he has kind of started to distance himself from some of the Giffords policies. How big a deal do you think it is on Obamacare?
Well, I think it is, in a sense, it is a relatively big deal just because, you know, that is let's face it, the Health Care Act is such a big deal in terms of, like we just discussed earlier, the Supreme Court, you know, debating it going on and on. And, you know, I think it was very good, like Dan said, that he actually came out with some concrete things in terms of, you know, limiting what increases insurance can be, letting Medicare negotiate with drug buyers, and, you know, things like that. And I think it was good that they came out with these concrete things. And I think it's interesting. I think this campaign is going to be a dance for the Barber campaign. On one hand, embracing Gabrielle Giffords because of her popularity, but on the other hand, indicating that he is his own man. But let's face it, once if he is the one that's elected, when he gets into the halls of Congress, be it in CD2, CD8, or both of them, he is going to have to be his own man, and he is going to become his own man if he is the one that's elected. So it was an inevitable in any case.
Letter carriers are very happy with this news. Then I think many of us who like to receive our mail in a timely fashion, I certainly do. And I know Joe, my letter carrier, who listens to the program up in the foothills, loves to hear also the news that the Senate, Dan Scheer, apparently now is going to put this closing of the Tucson Processing Center on hold until at least after the election in November.
Right, and that's a big deal in Green Valley. It would delay letters by a day. This is still a community that relies an awful lot just on personal communication through the through U.S. mail, so I think people are very glad to hear this.
And I agree. I've said on this program before that one of our sister newspapers, Inside Tucson Business, is actually mailed. And there's been talk around the office that we're going to have to drastically adjust our deadlines or change even possibly the way it's delivered because of this decision. However, I think it's interesting that the Senate did this. And in one sense, on a local sense, it's a very good thing. But let's face facts. The post office is still hemorrhaging a lot of red ink.
Yeah.
And so someone is going to have to do something because this is unsustainable. And whether that ultimately leads to the closure of the Cherry Bell facility, who knows? But, you know, something's going to have to be done no matter what. The post office cannot keep going. As much as the folks in Sahuarita may like it, and as much as the readers of Inside Tucson Business may like it, and as much as the mail carriers may like it, this is not a sustainable model.
Switch to downtown Tucson. Humberto Lopez closing the Hotel Arizona. Llanos will keep his restaurant going in downtown Tucson, but close the West and La Paloma properties. Some interesting news happening downtown, and we had Michael Keith, Jimmy Bogle, on the Buckmaster Show yesterday talking about the Congress and the Fourth Avenue situation. It is really hurting the retailers.
It is. I think that the Hotel Arizona news and the Llanos news are actually separate from that because neither of these were really a surprise.
Right. I just sort of threw them in.
I wrote my editor's note about this last week. Folks, it's really not hard to get around downtown and Fourth Avenue. It really is not. There's this big block that people have because they hear about the construction and they see the signs. And even when they go down there, Fourth Avenue is very stark. I mean, there's chunks of Fourth Avenue that are just in terms of the street are gone. Mm-hmm. And I think the businesses down there are hurting a lot more than they are downtown. But
yeah,
I think
with the parking, Mr. Keith pointed out that really the parking downtown is virtually intact. And only about several dozen, maybe I think he said 85 spaces were lost in this. But
that's
predominantly 90-some percent of your parking is still there downtown.
That's exactly correct. And, you know, I've actually taken the drive down Congress into Toole because you can't go down Congress anymore. And the delays, I think I said in my editor's note that I think I had a 30-second delay once, but it hasn't been hard to park. Fourth Avenue, I hate to say it, but it's not hard to park down there now because people aren't going there. And these local businesses need our support. I mean, local businesses add to a lot of economy, and people need to get their butts down there and, frankly, quit overreacting. It's not hard to get down there. I promise you I'm down there three times a week. You have my word, folks.
Rosemont update, Dan Scheer.
Well, the CorpCom okayed the power line last month. There's going to be more hearings on it. I guess the news now is that TEP and Rosemont really do not want to hear from people on this. They feel like the decision should be made. My question is, what do they fear? What is going to come up that's going to rattle them this time? So let the people speak. This is very important. This is one of those things that in the face of water and other issues around Rosemont has not been talked about for a few months. Let's talk about this power line.
Total number of permits needed, it's about 12.
Roughly.
And we're at about?
Roughly half.
At half. So the process will continue on for quite a while, right?
Correct.
Quickly, nuclear waste, do we need it? Jimmy Bogle in Arizona?
I don't want you to get in trouble with the FCC, so I won't use the language that I would use to describe that. But no, I actually used to live in Las Vegas, and the problem is not only you have to put it somewhere, it has to get transported through. And okay. If Tucsonans want nuclear waste coming through Tucson, then support Al Melvin on this.
Quickly to Rick Grinnell, member, former candidate for mayor and a member of the Rio Nuevo board. Go ahead, Rick, got about a minute to go.
Okay, just real quick. I would like to – I believe it was Dan that said that the process has not had public input. And I would like to point out that the public has had 4 years of input. The county has been inundated with amounts of information. The Forest Service extended extra hearings. The Power Line Siting Committee, they went way out of their way to try to do this. And so I think it's disingenuous for him to make that statement. The facts are the law has been followed. The details of the project are very clear. And this, whether you agree with the project or not, I think to say that things haven't been followed is inappropriate and not fair to your listeners, Bill.
Well, thank you, Rick. Let's let Dan weigh in there.
We're not making a judgment on whether this project is good or not. I think it's a legitimate question. What do they fear they're going to hear? I agree that there have been a lot of hearings. We've been at a lot of them. They've been held right in our own town. But what is it about this particular instance, this particular place, point in time, that they fear?
And you were referring to this,
the
Arizona Corporation Commission.
Right, the decision and the request to reverse this decision to allow the opponents to speak.
Okay. Dan Scheer and Jimmy Bogle, thank you very much, both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Weekend Watch is coming up with the culinary cruiser himself, Matt Russell. And he's going to be a judge at this taco festival, and he had to go through some training. Can you believe it? Eating a bunch of tacos. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
That music signals the culinary cruiser himself, Matt Russell. Matt, it's just unbelievable to me that not only are you going to be taking part in the Tucson Taco Festival, that you needed to be certified this week, and that meant you had to go out and, I guess, determine how many tacos you could pound down.
Yeah, I love competitive eating, Bill. And yeah, I am now officially and proudly a certified taco judge by the National Taco Association. I mean, this is the pinnacle of my career, Bill Buckmaster.
Well, does this mean that next will be that hot dog 4th of July contest over on the East Coast?
That's right. You'll see me on TV in Coney Island on July 4th. I think I can I think I can show that Joey Chestnut a thing or two.
What do you do? And you have been really training, I know, for the festival. Give us the details of what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, this is going to be so much fun, Bill. I mean, the entire city is going to be transformed into a virtual taco-topia tomorrow, with more than 30 amateur and professional taco teams battling it out for $5,000 in cash, and of course bragging rights over the title Grand Champion Taco at the first annual Tucson Taco Festival. So they're going to be competing in categories like chicken and pork and beef and seafood. A panel of judges, myself included, will be sequestered off in a closed tent so we can truly be anonymous. More than 5,000 people expected to turn out for this. There's going to be live music, margarita challenge, live cooking demonstrations. All happens tomorrow at Rialto Downs from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. TucsonTacoFestival.com for information and tickets.
Boy, the winner might take home that taco trophy belt, that championship belt. Just huge with a couple of tacos engraved on it. I mean, that thing, it looks beautiful.
Mighty impressive, with a couple of notches let out of the belt after Saturday, as I know all too well.
How about tacos? Tacos and a good piece of pie.
Absolutely. You know, if tacos aren't your thing, Bill, and you prefer the sweeter things in life, tomorrow is your big day because it's the annual Tucson Pie Party from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. At the Whistle Stop Depot over there on West 5th Street, you can sample as much pie as your hunger will allow or until it's all gone for only $3 a slice. Now, they've got four categories: fruit pie, cream pie, vegan pie, and, of course, the famous other category. Nice thing about this, Bill, is you can vote for your favorite, and then the winning pie, whoever made that winning pie, gets to choose a charity that the event proceeds are going to be donated to. So this is a lot of fun from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., Whistle Stop Depot. PieParty.org has all the information. Now, Bill, I love pie, as you know, but I always am kind of a classicist. I just love fruit pies. What about you?
I just love that coconut cream pie, but our producer, Rosemary Brandt, just says she cannot live without a vegan pie, and apparently they're going And that sounds really, really tempting, the vegan pie. We do want to support our downtown. We're talking on the roundtable, as you heard. We need to support the downtown merchants through this difficult time with the streetcar coming in.
Indeed, we do. Restaurants and boutiques and salons and retail outlets alike. And, you know, I think there's this misconception that the construction has completely gotten in the way. I mean, I went down there not too long ago, and it is so much easier than you can imagine to get to where you want to go. There's all kinds of parking options. A little bit of time on foot goes a long way. Really support these merchants. They're local, homegrown, individual mom-and-pop business owners doing some remarkable things down there, especially in the culinary world. Get downtown and have a wonderful meal and support Tucson business.
Good luck with the festival. Have those tacos. They'll come through for you every time. Thanks.
Right on, Bill.
Okay.
Thanks.
Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show made possible in part by our friends at Splendido. It's SplendidoTucson.com. Also, the Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, our friends, the certified public accountants at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, producer Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.
Ten thirty, KVOI Cortero Tucson, and 9:30 KAPR Douglas, the Voice, Good News Radio Network.